Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Now, you're listening to the show that has been described as, by far, the best gaming podcast around. Not my words.
Wow.
Not my words, I know. Those are the words of Skeng Man Wack, who left that review for us on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, big up Skeng Man Wack. Shout out to the Skeng Man out there. Yeah, big up Skeng Man Wack.
Loves it. So when I first read that, I was chatting to you, I was thinking, is that actually someone being...
Listen, Skeng Man enjoys the pod.
Yeah, he loves it. And it is very nice to know that people like Skeng and others are enjoying it. So thank you very much to you for sending lovely messages like that.
Shout out to all the Skeng men out there as well.
Big up. And so hopefully you're listening. And if you are, thank you very much for sending us that message. That was really good. It is lovely to hear that people are enjoying the show. And hopefully we've got another enjoyable episode for you this week. Now, this is, if you're just new and you're thinking, what the hell is this? It's Press X to Continue. It's the gaming podcast that's got you covered. If you're a seasoned pro who plays all the time, or if you're just a rank amateur who plays the new releases now and again. If you just have a dabble here and there, doesn't matter. It's all good. Everybody is welcome here in the Continue Club. Mm. Einel, before we bring in Marcus Bronzy's back with us this week. Before I bring Marcus in properly, we both got sent a skull through the post the other day.
Yeah, just a skull. I mean, that's all the details you're going to give the listeners, aren't you? Got sent a skull in the post.
But I just wanted to. So I just want to say, we're lucky. You get lucky. Sometimes you get sent bits and pieces in this job. I couldn't get sent a lot of stuff before because I worked with BBC and wasn't allowed to be sent stuff. So now you get sent the odd gift or whatever. So we're gifted this skull by Bethesda. Because the new Doom's coming out. Okay. So the skull comes. It looks amazing. It looks like a skull. Of course, it turns out it's a chocolate skull.
Mm, it's from the Edible Museum.
Yeah.
So basically, it looks like a real human skull.
Yeah. But I think it's the best gaming bit of paraphernalia I've ever been sent in my entire life. It's amazing. Because it looks just like the skull. It is very tasty. And I got to bash it in half with a hammer, which is the most fun thing I've ever done. From a game. So basically, big shout to the team at Bethesda for sending out these skulls. Loads of, you know, we're lucky enough that we were chosen to get one, and we're very grateful of that. And it looks cool, and it's obviously the new Doom is coming soon, and it's very in keeping with the theme of Doom, isn't it? And you know, Dark Ages is coming on May the 15th, and
it's got me hyped. It's got me hyped for the game because, like, I knew it was coming this year, but it's a busy year of releases. And obviously GTA, a lot of people still believe it's coming. But I was also like, Doom, it's round the corner.
I know.
It's before summer.
Before summer, the new Doom coming. But I do have, and this sort of, this chocolate skull is a really, like, sort of evocative way of getting us ready for the new Doom game, right?
Yeah, but especially when you have to eat it. It's a weird vibe because I received it over the Easter weekend. So it was like, oh, this is a very different resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, it is one of the coolest things I've ever been sent, hands down, right?
Mm.
But I do have a bone to pick with Bethesda who sent it.
Oh.
And I've been on a bit of a fitness and health journey recently. And now, as a result of this giant skull, I've got more chocolate in the house than I can shake a stick at. And I can't stop eating it, Einel. It's so tasty. It's just there.
It takes up an entire shelf in my fridge. Entire shelf.
It's massive. Yeah. I do have a bone to pick with Bethesda.
I love it.
Thank you. Here all week. But it's wicked, and the new Doom's coming soon, and we will obviously be talking about Doom when it comes out, you know, on the podcast at some point. You might have seen these on clips on social media, people getting the skulls. It's a very clever bit of marketing. We've got Marcus Bronzy again with us this week, presenter, game player, game designer. We should describe you as off the back of last week, Marcus. I haven't stopped thinking about your game.
Make my game. Make our game. It's our game.
It's ours.
We take ownership of it. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to last week's episode when Marcus comes up. We had a bit of a feature where we were coming up with a new game of bringing back an old franchise. Me and Einel didn't even bother giving our suggestions because Marcus smashed it out the park.
Listen, he gets 100% of the funds. If this was Dragon's Den, I know where I've been beat.
Marcus, have you seen the videos and things doing the rounds on social media of people with this giant chocolate skull?
Yeah, the thing is, right, and I know that you guys both said this, and it looks so skull-like. Like, it looks like an actual skull, so you'll see people holding it up, and the attention to detail is phenomenal because it looks aged. It looks, you know, obviously it's got engravings on it, which you will see if you go online.
It's had a tough life.
Had a tough life, you know. And for me, I suppose, and for you guys as well, like, when you first hit it, right? Well, I didn't hit it because I didn't get one, but were you like, did a bit of you feel like it was a bit wrong?
Until you saw
the chocolate?
I didn't like it. It felt, I had a really weird sort of reaction to it because it was so lifelike.
Yeah. I feel kind of bad now because I licked it. My bad.
I know.
Did it have a glaze on it?
Yes. I was like, I don't know.
I know. What you do in your own time is entirely up to you.
I was emulating Yoshi, innit? I was like, I'm trying to do like a Yoshi thing. Right. I'm like, yeah.
But a very clever bit of marketing there from Bethesda. Yeah. So a big bravo. And thank you very much for that because... it was one of the weirdest things I've done. It was great. All right, okay. So we're gonna loads of people chatting about your unpopular opinion, Marcus, no doubt. But this week's unpopular opinion is coming from the Discord, okay? Because we get loads of people making their suggestions in the Discord, which we really like. And there's two that we're going to discuss. Firstly, from Damien, it says, "I think that Souls-like games." I always find that hard to say. Souls-like games are overrated. I have limited time to play, and I don't want to spend my time fighting the same enemy over and over and over and over again in the 1 hour I do have. I don't think people like them as much as they say they do. They're just afraid to speak the truth. Ooh. Thoughts?
Oh, it's almost like the opposite of Luke was saying a few weeks ago.
Luke Westaway was on us a couple of weeks ago. Go and have a listen to that. He put up a really strong defense of Souls-like games, actually. And he was saying, Marcus, that basically dying, you've got to re-channel your approach to dying. Death in video games is part of the fun, part of the process. And once you accept that, Souls-like games are fun. Damien does not agree.
Do you know what? I actually listened to that episode and it was a very compelling argument, right? And I know that we're in, you know, when you come on Press X to continue, you're in the midst of someone like Einel, who, as far as I know, puts games on hard and that's how he just plays them, right? Now, I'm both sides of the coin. So sometimes with games, I will lean over to easier settings. I believe I did that with Indiana Jones. I believe I did that. I can't remember, I'll be honest. But recently, and I know you've already spoken about it on a pod, so I won't talk about it, but Atomfall is, you know, a game that, again, it's been spoken about in the podcast, I won't get into it, but I played it. I was lucky to have a go on it before it came out, and the setting it was on were the intended settings for the developers, and I found it very challenging. So when the game came out, I thought, you know what, let's go for it. And it's standard settings are, let's say, towards hard, because it's like four basic settings. And I left it on that, and I played it, and I found it extremely challenging. I could not just run into an environment however I wanted. I had to be really tentative. I had to be crafty. I had to be careful. Every bullet counted. And I can honestly say I really enjoyed it. I was frustrated. Ooh. I died a lot. I got angry when I flipped a coin and made a decision and things didn't go my way, or somebody was extremely aggressive, but I enjoyed it. But I will say to whoever dropped that comment to you, man, like, everyone has their own thing when it comes to game, you know. I know people that genuinely love Souls games. They genuinely do. Personally, for me, they're cool. Like, I'm like, whatever, like, it's not for me. But then the same person that doesn't like those is going to absolutely love another story where you immerse yourself into it and there isn't as much consequence. I think I'm going to talk about a game today where there isn't as much consequence when you die. Do you know what I mean? And I don't think that takes away the enjoyment from the game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So,
I'm with
I don't know. I'm going to sit on the fence. I'm sitting on the fence, guys, all right?
I do agree in that sense. Much like what Luke said last time, you have to kind of reframe how you kind of see the games. And obviously, that's not for everyone. I kind of see it like those old kind of martial arts films where you get the young apprentice and then the old master. And the young apprentice is hot-headed, wants to learn everything so quickly, keeps messing up. And then the old sensei always slows them down. Mm. And says, take your time, starts off small, and just like, be one with the wind or something like that. And it's like, what? I want to go on a bus up, man. and then once you kind of like slow down and then recognize what the game is requiring from you, and that's where you start to kind of understand the ins and outs of the game, the inner workings of it, and then you can start bending the rules a bit once you kind of understand them, and then that's where the fun kind of comes from.
I think I really want to try a Souls-like game whilst channeling that thought of Luke, because I think I usually fall into Damien's category that I think just because a game is hard doesn't make it good. And so... You know, but maybe I need to, because someone said to me relatively recently that when your frame of reference for stuff when you're 16 tends to be the frame of reference of stuff that you stick with when you're older. So the things you tend to like when you're 16 is still things that you like when you're 30, 40, 50, older, whatever. And I've actually resonated with that. And I think that my approach to the way I play games was set in stone when I was like 15, 16, and I haven't changed since then. So actually maybe I'm up for trying to play a Souls-like game now and approach it in the way that Luke was framing it. And I might change my opinion, Damien. And maybe, you know, if you can get one on for free or for cheap or whatever, and you want to try doing that as well, it might change your mind. I don't know. I'm going to try it, see how I come up.
Oh, that's first Souls game.
Well, I played Elden Ring, and then I was like, too hard, can't be bothered. Yeah.
You've got to adjust to the speed of it.
Yeah.
I felt a bit, and I just mentioned in Indiana Jones, I felt a bit, when I played Indiana Jones, I didn't enjoy it for the first hour, and then I realised it's because I wasn't playing it from a perspective of somebody who was... a lecturer, you know, who bumbles around with his whip, you know, being a little bit awkward. He's not the fast. It's not like you're playing a guy who's a free runner. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, chill, get into the game. So yeah, I think I'm slowly learning that. But I'll probably let you get on with that, Steph, and then I'll crack on after you, mate.
So thank you very much, Damien, for doing that, for sharing your unpopular opinion in the Discord. And with this one thank from you. Cammy, full disclosure, Cammy edits the podcast. So if this doesn't make the cut, it's because he doesn't like what we're about to say. He says, the best sports to be made into video games are tennis, golf and baseball. Everything else is on a tier below.
Ooh.
Tennis, golf and baseball, says Cammy, are the best. Well, I could think of two sports that might disagree with you immediately, Cammy. Madden NFL and EAFC might disagree with you. I'm up and down on EAFC, but Madden NFL's had better games. But Madden NFL at the noughties was amazing.
Oh, those were... You couldn't touch them.
They were great. So I know tennis games... Was that NBA, that top spin well, game hasn't done
even
amazing.
With the... I remember during like the GameCube era, you'd get like the streets... Like spin-offs of
I love those. NBA Street, NFL Street, NBA Street.
For Street.
NBA Street Volume 2, in my opinion, has the greatest soundtrack of any video game. Oh, they have said it.
He said it. Wow. It's got to be on the playlist now.
Yeah. Because it's Cammy, I'm just going to say agree.
But you're bribing him. He'll make you sound good. I know.
Yeah, I'll see be back on the pod. This might rattle some cages, what I'm about to say, but what are we not talking about? WWE 2K, or is that you going to get upset if I? I see Stefan turned. I know it's grown. If I, hey, these guys are athletes, man.
Hey, no, they're sports
guys. Are athletes.
Sports entertainment. Yeah. Sports. Yep. I'm open to it. Like, over Christmas, I said this when we came back. The best gaming experience I had over Christmas, as in a communal gaming thing, I absolutely adored it. I played the latest WWE games with my nephews, and we did a Royal Rumble, and everybody was controlling a different card. I was Jake the Snake Roberts from the 90s. Yes, and you know there was John Cena and all of it in there, and it was a joy. It was a really fun communal game. So yeah, I could WWE. Yeah, fine. Why not?
I don't know if I'm going to have as much fun creating a character for a tennis player, man. I've got to be honest, man.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest. Like, my special move being like a super backhand isn't as serious as like a pedigree off the top right. You know what I mean? Look,
We'll give Kami a right to reply because he edits the podcast, so he can. So without assuring,
we'll let him have Mario.
He's probably just going to edit us all out. Yeah, so we just go,
he's right. So like Mario Tennis and Mario Golf, yeah, great. The golf games, 2K24 golf and PGA Tour golf, are like, yeah, fine. Yeah, I kind of like them. But it's got to be mad, isn't it? I quite enjoy the new NHL game as well. We're going to have to do a sports episode, actually, I know. This has been realised. We should do that. But look, you know, producer David's been on. He said that World Championship snooker is very relaxing, you know?
So I love a snooker game. Ooh, love snooker and pool games.
I like playing them on mobile, and I can't go back to controllers and keyboards anymore.
Yeah. Like mobile, I play 8-ball pool on my phone as a little, like, you know, chill one, like here and there. That's a little game that I like to play on my mobile. It's lovely.
I mean, I'm a big coffee golf fan on my mobile. Oh, it's banger. It's great. So I agree with Cammy. Golf games are good. Tennis games are good. I'm not playing enough baseball games. But are they... Madden NFL's also good. EAFC's pretty good. So anyway, WWE 2K. I had loved that at Christmas. Mark is a big fan. So anyway, Cammy, here's your right to reply. Have at you.
Look, all I'm saying is golf, tennis and baseball are so uniquely singular sports that you can emulate the actual mechanics of playing it, as in deciding which type of swing you want to do in golf and tennis, and also the swing timing and the pitch selection in baseball, that it really, really emulates the feeling of you playing a sport better than any team sport video game can. That's all I mean. Do you have anything else you want to add, Stefan?
I'd love, Cammy.
Ah, thanks, man.
Lovely. Okay, so let's get into... Oh, side note. Aina, can you write this down? Can we talk about this another time? Don't we see more games where they have invented sports? I used to love... I remember Speedball and Disc Jam... And some of those games, like Rollerball, the game. Let's make that. Why don't we
Smash
that?
TV. Do you remember that?
Yes. Come on. More of this stuff. Let's invent some games, you know, some sports to be turned into a game.
Splatoon.
Love absolutely.
You can have that.
Yeah, you can have that. That's right. Yeah. So we'll make a note of that, Aina. Write that down.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that another time.
Writing it down.
Good. Okay, right. It's time for some trivia. Let's have some music.
Wants to be a continuer.
Now remember, you can get your trivia questions into the team on our Discord. There is a secret channel there that you can suggest your questions. We've had some crackers over the last few weeks, so keep them coming in and we will reveal the answer at the end of the episode. Okay, this question is: threats of legal action by the Church of England against the developers of which video game indirectly increased visitor numbers to Manchester Cathedral? What a question that is.
Say that again.
Threats of legal action by the Church of England against the developers of which video game indirectly led to increased visitor numbers to Manchester Cathedral? I don't even know where to start with that question.
Same. Oi. I was the only thing I can even think of is Assassin's Creed Syndicate, but that was London. That wasn't even Manchester. So I was like, I don't know.
Do you think they could have used a Manchester skin? Used Manchester, like images of the Manchester Cathedral in it, if you go in there?
I think you might be right there.
I'm just going to say Rockstar to be safe, because if anyone's going to have a go at someone in it, it's a Rockstar. I don't know. Is there a game that has a church in it? I don't know. A cathedral? I don't know.
Remember that game, The Getaway?
That was
London.
I love the way they did the navigation in that game. When you needed to know whether to take a left or right turn, the indicators on your car would start blinking, so you know that's where you got to go down that road. That was the GPS.
Yeah,
it was Getaway, the one that had that. Sorry, super side note. Did it have like the real shop names as well? So people, go back and play it. They say that's what Oxford Circus used to be like.
It had like they looked the same, but they tweaked the words slightly. So instead of WH Smith, it'd be like MZ Smith or something like that.
Oh, right.
I've made that up. I could be wrong.
Can I change my guess? Could it be a Hitman game? I'm just going to say, could it be something from Hitman? Because I feel like they might have used. That's what I'm going to step back. I don't know. I'm totally just firing in the dark.
That is good, Marcus, because I've got nothing for you. I've got nothing.
Well, you smashed it last week, mate.
I got it right last week, didn't I? I don't know.
Strolled into the win.
Yeah, lightning doesn't strike twice, so I'm not going to have another guess. we'll bring you the answer to that amazing question at the end of the episode. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about scary games now, because The Last of Us Season 2 is back on the telly.
Yep.
Now, if you haven't watched it yet, I would suggest that we're going to put a little jingle here that's going to last about 5 seconds. Listen to the jingle, and it will tell you exactly the time code you need to come back in. Okay, so this is a spoiler-free zone.
27 minutes and 30 seconds, or if you're skipping forward, 8 minutes starting now.
They nailed it, didn't they? Didn't they get it so bloody good? Boom! Episode two
was fire.
Episode two, they didn't muck around. They didn't change the timeline.
Literally fire.
They didn't cling on to Pedro so that he could be in it for longer. No, they just bang, and you are dead, my friend.
You're done.
And for the second time, you didn't want to watch it, but you had to watch it.
She gets the golf club up. I'm like, oh no, God. And then I was like, are they changing it? Are they going to keep him alive? Are they going to keep him longer? Are they going to change it? But no, bomb. They did it. They nailed it. The actress who plays Abby is fantastic, because Laura Bailey does such a good job of that in the game. And she's much more physical, and the actress is slightly slighter. And I was like, oh, I'm not sure how I feel about that. But goodness me, did she smash that?
Oh, great monologue. Great monologue.
Yeah, it almost gives a whole new meaning to those words, because I feel like, I agree, like I saw Abby as quite a unit when I first played the game, and her physicality at the time made it powerful in one way, but the slighter actor here makes me feel the emotions in a totally different way. It was, it was just...
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Marcus, because I remember because you get to play as Abby a little bit before that part in the game. I love playing as Abby. I was like, the way she was punching up people's, I was like, yeah, this is the kind of character I want to play with. Yeah. So, like, obviously, when we had this version of Abby come through, I was like, I was in two minds, because she's shorter than everybody in the room. She's the smallest person in the room, in where there's various characters, at least 6 or 7. And then all of a sudden, the power just comes through, and you can say she's in control of this room. Everyone's listening to her. I was like, okay. And the way it went down, whew.
Yeah, I just thought they got it. Because that is one of the scenes of recent gaming history, isn't it? That moment where they kill off Joel, like a lead character like that.
I will say, I think the video game did it better in terms of how I felt.
Yeah.
But
because
I understand how they framed it for TV.
Yeah, but I think all of it is going to... What I'm interested in is when they do the flip, so you become more on Abby's... perspective, is whether I'm going to feel the same watching the show as I do playing the game. Because in the game, Marcus, I almost couldn't use the controller.
I almost
had to put the controller down. I was like, well, what am I supposed to do now? I want to finish this game, but I don't want to be her.
I had that whole emotional journey where I went 180 from hating. Actually, no, it was a 360. It was hate to love to hate again. And like you said, one of the things that The Last of Us 2 did, right, is it made you play at certain pinch points, whether you wanted to or not, right? Mm. So no spoilers in case you haven't played the game and you're going to watch the rest of it, but there's points within this storyline which it's hard to watch, but when the game makes you do these excruciating, painful things and you try to do anything but get out of it, it's when it takes away every single option but for you to deliver. Yep. That is when it really...
We don't progress until you press.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And you best believe I pulled back, and like you, Steph, I put the controller down or I tried to avoid it, and the game was saying to me, mate, there's only one way this is going to go, and you're playing our way or the highway, and it fed. I've said this before. I'll say this on your podcast. Like, after playing the game, I text Mr. Midas, who's a gamer as well, like, you know, and I said I finished the game, and he said, are you cool? And I was like, oh yeah, man, I'm all right, like, but I think I needed a minute, like, you know, I needed to sit down and really take it in. And And yo, the TV show, it's like I said, it's not, maybe because I've played the game already, it's not hitting me in the same way, but it's still probably one of the most powerful pieces of television I've seen of recent. It is strong stuff.
Absolutely.
Can we talk about the town scene?
Yeah, we can. Before that, it's Caitlin Dever. She's the actress that plays RB.
Big up, Caitlin. Nailed it.
Yes. Also, I think that's the best catchphrase you've ever come up with, Inel. We don't progress until you press. I mean, we don't progress until you press X to continue. Why haven't we done that before?
Hey, it'll be on a t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I get a bit of that percentage if our game goes through as well? I'm trying to spread my bets.
Yeah. But look,
diversifying the portfolio.
I would suggest, but there's a HBO podcast where Troy Baker, who obviously played Joel in the game, interviews Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann.
Oh, wow, the writers.
And they talk a lot about how in this episode you had the personal stuff between Abby and Joel as a juxtaposition to all the shit kicking off in the town. It's just an unbelievable sort of set piece on both ways. Mm. Yeah, I think
my heart was racing the entire way through.
And then you have the whole thing between Joel and Ellie at the party when he steps in and there's obviously a bit of a, you know, there's a situation, again, oh wait, this is spoiler free zone. They have an argument because she's like, why the fuck are you stepping into my space? I don't like you, dickhead, fuck off, whatever. And I don't feel like they get to fully resolve that.
No. Mm.
So when you add that into the mix as well, the pain that you have of your last moments, your last few times seeing someone have been absolutely deliberately horrible to them, even though you feel justified and there is justification there, and not being able to resolve that before that happens. Oh, man.
I don't know if it happens in the game because I can't remember the scene as intimate because it was so painful. I sort of parked it a little bit. But in the show, what I thought was amazing was that and they talk about this on the podcast, really, but I spotted it when I watched it as well, is she's telling him to get up and he's trying to get,
He tries to get up,
he's trying to get up.
He tried, bro.
But it's interesting because when the end of series one, when I talked about his choice, his decision with my wife, who hadn't played the game, she was like, well, why has he killed all those people for, you know, like, he's done the wrong thing. And I said, well, what would you do if it was our kid? Mm. She said, well, obviously you shoot everybody in the face. You know what I mean? So it's like,
is this a trick question?
Yeah. And that's what's amazing about the game. And I think the show is doing a good job of adapting that to telly in the sense that it makes, and this is, we shouldn't feel like this because we're all past it now, but whatever we do, makes gamers feel like proud. This was our thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, yes, we've, you know, this is as good a story as can be told.
And you know what? One of the main things from this, I'm so glad they did it well. It could so horribly have just gone wrong and just not worked, or the direction they took could have just completely destroyed it. I thought the direction they did, absolutely fantastic. Loved the action set pieces, thought it was fantastic. The intimate moments, brilliant. And the acting, first and foremost, I'm believing it. There's still some quirks here and there, and obviously I'm attached to the PlayStation actors as well, as I went through that journey with them for so much longer in terms of hours. But in terms of what they're doing with the TV show, I think it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, the next thing for me is how the scene in the museum is going to play. I want to see how that pays off. Well, look, we were going to, and so now you're spoiler free. We're good now. We're good. You can zip back in. We were also going to talk about scary games in this sequence, but we just all got so excited about The Last of Us, and I really want to listen to Marcus's review of Split Fiction. So we're going to hold. I'll get your pen out again.
Writing it down.
So scary. We need to talk about scary games because some people have been talking about it in the Discord, and we want to reflect that. So we'll come back to that. Mm-hmm. Right. Let's have a little GTA 6 news update, and then we'll get into Marcus's review of Split Fiction.
The Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
There's actual news! Oh my god! Oh my god, there's something! Give me that microphone! There's actual news! It's been delayed till May 26, 2026! There's actual news! Oh my god!
That was
was the Press X to Continue GTA 6 update.
Also, just as a heads up, we recorded this episode before the news dropped, so we don't have anything further to say on this. Back to the studio!
Well, thank you very much for that little update there on GTA 6. Very exciting developments coming out of Scotland. Right, Marcus, tell me about Split Fiction.
Split Fiction dropped earlier this year, action-adventure game developed by Hazelight Studios, and this company is responsible for co-op games. Now, co-op games, we spoke about them a little in the last podcast. I'm a big fan of them, but they've been an area of gaming that I feel haven't been represented to the best of their ability over the years. And Hazelight really managed to do that. They've had a very interesting bunch of games, like previously Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons, and that was like a very simple entry level into a game which you could only complete by working with your brother. Then they had a Jailbreak game where it was a way out, which was an amazing game. Then they had It Takes Two, which was, from a distance, looked like a kind of a children's version of that kind of game. But it wasn't. It was an adult's game, but it was skinned up in a really colourful and beautiful way, where you play two protagonists who are trying to help their daughter out and have to basically negotiate being very small. And now we have Split Fiction, which is where sci-fi, which I love. Sci-fi is my darling, my baby. You know, I'm always going to be with sci-fi. Combined with fantasy. And I think, just like all their other games, Hazelight have managed to take co-op to another level. And, you know, I've really enjoyed it. The basic premise of the game is you have two authors, or shall we say struggling authors, called Mio and Zoe, and they head over to a publishing deal. And at some point along the way, their two narratives and their two loves for their genres are combined, and you have to negotiate physical renditions of their stories to progress in the game. That's me saying it without being too, without giving too much away. And I think we can talk about it without giving too much away, because it's a game that, like I said, I am more sci-fi. I love sci-fi, right? So there's this kind of thing within those genres. And there is a bit of a thing between sci-fi and fantasy. So you have people, for example, are you Star Trek or Star Wars? Star Wars being a little bit more fantasy, Star Trek being a bit more, you know, sci-fi. Do you have, you know, more of a love for one or the other? And I feel like this is a great way of showing how they can work hand in hand. Let me quickly skip over to, just so you know, this time around, there is also crossplay, which I really like, and they've kept the friend pass. And that means you can play, if you've got an Xbox and your mate's got a PlayStation, you can play. But if one of you does not own the game, the other one can play it, which I think is really, really
That's
nice.
That's genius.
Well.
They did that with their other titles, I think, and it's so brilliant, a way of getting people on.
Yes.
It's the best feature in video games that I hope becomes a trend. I hope it does.
Yeah,
great. It's great they brought that back.
Yeah. Basics, sort of, Marcus. It's a puzzle platformer, right? Is that essentially it?
It is a. You can call it a puzzle platformer, but what they do, this is what Hazelight have done with the last two games, isn't it? Takes Two, is they take ideas from fantasy, they take ideas from sci-fi, they take ideas from they take puzzle ideas, they take platform ideas, they'll take. I feel like they're very good at like nicking. Not nicking's the wrong word, is taking creative influence from different parts of those genres and working them together to put it in as a platformer, to put it in as a puzzle game, to put it in as in a box is really hard to do, because you have such this exciting twist of adventure everywhere you go. Now, yeah, I suppose if you wanted to be really strict, you could say, right, it's a platformer, right? Cool. But I feel like they really stretched what that means. Do you know what I mean? And within the game, your characters, because they come from a fantasy background and a sci-fi background, throughout levels you take on powers, and each character has their own set of powers throughout the game that benefits moving forward the storyline. Do you know what I mean? And I'll get to this a bit more at the end, but what's great is you can play through this game once, switch places and play through again. Do you know what I mean?
So a question for you. I've been trying to find a way of getting, of playing games with my wife. She's not a big gamer. She used to play, you know, a bit of Spyro back in the day, as a lot of people did. And we played a bit of A Way Out in lockdown. She quite enjoyed it, but we've never really got around to doing it again. And I've been thinking a lot recently, I want to try again and to try to crack this, to play like a co-op game together. if you were me and you had, Emma hasn't played many games, and you had a choice of basically of Split Fiction or A Way Out, which one would you choose to try and, for me to try and see if I can get her on board? Because sometimes when you try and say, you're going to love this game, and actually they can be a bit overwhelming. Like, I've tried it with Overcooked in the past, or, other titles. If you had to choose between the two, which one, for my particular circumstance, which other people might have a similar thing?
I would say Play A Way Out, because it's a slower, more realistic game. It's based within reality, shall we say. Do you know what I mean? It's based within a world that is ours. So things are a little bit slower. They're a bit cheekier. It's more like hide in a prison laundry basket while the other one pushes it, instead of use psychokinetic powers to move a floating truck from side of the screen to the other.
I love that. It takes two, sorry. Not a way out. Sorry, we've done a way out. No, it takes two. Bad. If you had to choose between It Takes Two and Split Fiction, what would you do? Because we did A Way Out.
What's interesting is I feel like the speed in... like the speed of the levels between A Way Out and Split Fiction are quite similar, because It Takes Two is based more in the real world, even though you're in a shrunken down version. I feel like maybe that's a nice thing to play first, because I feel like, from what I remember, the pace is slightly slower at the start, even though Split Fiction does start relatively slow. When things kick up, it gets funky real fast. And if it's somebody who isn't used to, and I'm really going to take it, because a lot of us, play gaming, we presume it's really easy to kind of use two joysticks and buttons and triggers at the same time. But there's a lot of cognitive relation going on within your mind and your fingers to get that right. So I'd say you're not going to lose anything by playing It Takes Two first and a slower game. And if anything, it might mean that you even enjoy Split Fiction even more. And if you have played Split Fiction first, I would still say go back to It Takes Two, because there's little nods to each game in it. Like, there's a certain jump in there. When I saw that, I was like, hang on, that's Maze Jump. You take a Maze Jump from the game. So I would say Split Fiction really does pick up its pace. It's probably one of the most challenging when it really gets going. I don't know if you've seen on the internet, there's a special level which you can do that is so hard that the first people that completed it got a note from the developer and have invited over to Hazelight Studios to see them on their next game. And he literally says in the video, "This level is so hard, our own developers have struggled to get through it." INL probably will be stepping up to that level if he's not already. he's flavoring them up. But I would say, I'd say It Takes Two first, man, to be honest with you. I'm not knocking Split Fiction at all. I love it. It looks so, like, they've turned the colours up in the sci-fi levels. And it's so tantalising and beautiful to watch. I love my sci-fi.
I can't wait to play it.
I know. It's got your name written all over it.
I love Hazelight's games. I've played all of them so far. Obviously, like Brothers, A Way Out, It Takes Two. I can't wait for this. We're just waiting for the right time. Because you have to play with someone, and it's best played with someone from beginning to end. Not in the same sitting, but just together for the experience. Yeah. And so we're waiting to kind of coordinate that time to kind of do it. But I absolutely can't wait. And to your question as well, Steph, in terms of like other people that are probably in this position where they want to play with their partners, because I predominantly played these games with my partner as well. A good game to start off with, a good series of games, is We Were Here. The We Were Here series, they're on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation. It's a two-player kind of co-op puzzle escape room kind of game where you have to kind of coordinate with each other in order to kind of solve puzzles together. And if you're looking for something that doesn't quite require so much dexterity, then this is probably a good place to start.
Great shout. Nice. Great shout. Now, the Metacritic score is 91, so it's very high for Split Fiction. Your recommendation, Marcus, you can get it £40 on Steam, £45 on the PlayStation and Xbox stores. Should people buy it now, wait till it's on sale, or pass it?
I'd say if you've got someone who's willing to play it with, grab it right now. Worth every penny. Love it. Great game. Play it through once, play it through twice. They put enough in there for you to have. It's a juicy and long enough game for you to play. There's some nice Easter eggs in there. And then I would suggest, and I'm, again, like, this is just purely editorial, no one's putting any money in my pocket because I'm trying to get that other game made, so I ain't got no money to spend on that. But like, I would say I genuinely love that their catalogue of game, Hazelight Games. And to give you some honest feedback, like, to just further expand this for those that think that, why are you kissing up to Hazelight? Kane and Lynch love those games, right?
Oh,
and I was gagging I was gagging for games like that after they came out. And before that, I think the last co-op game that really got me going before that was Streets of Rage 1, 2, and 3. So when the recent one dropped, you better believe I was all over that as well. So I've always loved the act of like, let's get in this together and kick ass. Do you know what I mean? And that's now developed through technology into us being able to do battle royales and stuff like that. But before that, it was two of you versus the game. Like all the good things, all the bad things, all the pitfalls, all the accidental punches in the back of the head to your mate if friendly fire went off. Yeah. Like that.
The turtle games. Remember those turtle games?
Yeah. Oh, come on.
They were Marvel. Some of the best Marvel games were those sort of isometric side-scrolling fighters from back in the day.
We need to get in a room together, just chill on the couch.
We should do that this summer. Let's hang out.
I'm up for it, man.
Let us know what you think. If you've been playing Split Fiction as well, do you agree with Marcus? Let us know. Get on the our socials, Press X Pod on Blue Sky and TikTok, Press X Podcast on Instagram, and get in the Discord as well and keep the conversation going because there's so many interesting topics sort of firing off there. Let us know what you think of Split Fiction. Right, a couple of suggestions for the Spotify playlist before we go. If you want to find it, the Press X Ultimate Gaming Playlist is what it is called on Spotify. Firstly, we should have called the playlist Exy Beats.
That's a round two. There's going to be multiple playlists.
It was right there, and we failed it. And suggested we should have done that. Danny wants Target from the Command & Conquer soundtrack on there. Danny, thank you very much for the suggestion.
I can't remember which one that one was. We'll have to listen.
We'll have a listen. It probably sounds a little bit like this. And producer David wants us to talk about a game that he used to play on the Amiga back in the day, showing his age. It was called Fury of the Furries. And it was a platformer where you control a little circular fur ball that had a different power and it changed colours all the time. Anyway, it had a banging soundtrack from the time. And so can we have Lagoon theme from Fury of the Furries on the playlist? So we will possibly put that one in as well. Now, you can find it as well. Just search for the Ultimate Gaming Playlist, Press X Ultimate Gaming Playlist on there, and you can find out as well and put your suggestions in the Discord. Right, the answer for our trivia question: threats of legal action by the Church of England against the developers of which video game indirectly led to increased visitor numbers at Manchester Cathedral? The randomest question we've ever had, but we love that. The answer is Resistance, Fall of Man.
Oh, yes! I heard about that!
So in 2007, when the game was released, the Church of England threatened legal action because part of it took place in an unidentified religious building in Manchester, which they said was unauthorised use of Manchester Cathedral. Yes. The crazy was a desecration and copyright infringement, and asked for an apology in the game to be taken off sale.
Also, who was gaming and found that out, eh?
Now, in the end, the case was dropped because there was no legal grounds for copyright infringement. And visitor numbers increased because people went to see the building after the controversy with the game. It's a very good question. And that's the first time I've thought about Resistance, Fall of Man for a long time. Well, that is it for this episode of Press X to Continue. Don't forget to get involved with us on social media and get in the Discord as well. And we will have another retro episode for you on Thursday. And then we're going to be back next Tuesday for some more fun. Marcus, it's been a joy. Thanks for being with us.
So, man, listen, I'm ready to come back whenever you want. Let's hope next time it's a celebratory episode because we got a game made. Hey!
so you don't want to come back on the podcast, is that what you're saying?